Praise God. Tonight, 6:30, Brother Basil Howard Brown will be with us tonight. You know, we're just reaching out to God. Just reaching out to God. Amen. You know, with people so emotionally disturbed, they've had to have therapy and psychiatrist and blowing bubbles and balloons, and everybody's, so many people, their feelings are hurt. You know, I thought, my God, have mercy. We need a revival in America. But anyway, we need Jesus. We need God. We need the precious Holy Spirit of the Lord. We will have service Wednesday night, and it will not be a terribly lengthy service. I'm not promising you an hour, but it's going to be all right. And I know because regular evening services have gone longer, you might wonder about that, but we'll do our best to follow the Lord. Amen. As far as I know, Brother Basil will be with us on Wednesday night. And, you know, boy, if there's ever a time America needs to say thank you, Lord, for all of our blessings, for all of our blessings, it's now. Amen. I'd like you to turn to Psalms 92 this morning. And I'd like to give a title to the message, God's Now Message for Calvary Cathedral today. And there are some five emphases that will come to us out of the 92nd chapter of Psalms. I felt this so strongly, I've read it so many times this week. God has a message for the now. How many believe that? And so with each one, I believe it's where we are right now. It's where we are right now. In Psalms 92, the latter part of verse 10, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The five truths that God brought to me, and I mean, there's so many truths in every chapter and every portion of God's Word. But the first one is something that I believe we're keen on and we're really into, that it's a good thing to sing and to say praise unto the Lord. That's what the Bible said. It's a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to give thanks. It's time to give thanks. I said it's time to give thanks. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving should be every day for the believer. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Why do we take a part of each service to do that? Because the Bible said it's a good thing. Paul and Silas, in the midst of that jail situation, began to sing and give praises unto God. And the other prisoners heard them. Oh, the world needs to hear you singing and giving praise unto God to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every week. Praise be unto God. Amen. So it's time to praise the Lord. It's time to rejoice in the things of God. Oh, hallelujah. It's a good thing to say, to sing, to praise, to worship, to offer thanksgiving to our Lord. Morning till night, every day, 24/7. It's time to praise the Lord. I think we've already heard it well. You know, if Americans can be so guilty of being gripers. Stop griping about what you don't have and thank God for what you do have. Amen. Praise God. If all you had was pork and beans for Thanksgiving, you're alive. You're born again. You know Jesus. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. Oh, it's a good thing to sing and to say praises and thanksgiving unto God. Oh, praise God. God blesses thankful people. Did you know that? The Bible said unthankful, unholy. Ooh, I don't want to be in that category. Unthankful people are unholy people. I didn't say they weren't going to heaven, but they need a bath. They need to clean up and start praising God. Thank God things are as good as they are. Getting better every day. So it's a good thing to sing and to say praises unto God. Morning till evening, morning till night, all day long. That's point number one. Now, point number two, it's time to triumph through joy and gladness. I want to say that again. It's time to triumph through joy and gladness. Amen. It's time to triumph. You find that in verse 4. Praise God. You know the first, did you know motorcycles were in the Old Testament? Did you know that? Does everyone know that? Motorcycles were in the Old Testament. The roar of David's triumph was heard throughout the land. That's an English motorcycle, okay? I guess they didn't have Harleys back then, so I don't know where that came from. Anyway, it's true, though. All right. All right, back to serious business. It's time to triumph through joy and gladness. Remember, 16 times in Philippians, you'll find some form of joy. 16 times in 4 chapters, some form of joy, gladness. Ooh, hallelujah. No doom and gloom here. Thank God it's time to triumph in joy and gladness. Time to rejoice. You know why? For one reason, because the joy of the Lord's your strength. You know why so many Christians are wilted and droopy and, you know, just, they're not full of joy and gladness. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why Satan wants you to get bummed out. You lose your joy, you lose your strength. You lose your joy, you get negative. You see what you don't have instead of what you do have. It's time to triumph in the joy and gladness, to rejoice in the things of God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Well, when God's... Here's a third reason. We might come up with 6 here. I don't know. When God's people unite in prayer, God hears and answers prayer. My personal opinion is God has heard the prayers of God's people. I don't know when churches all over this nation have prayed like they've prayed the last few days and weeks. People prayed. People sought God. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people, he didn't say if the mafia, he said if my people, who are called by my name. My people who are called by my name. I'm called by the name of the Lord. I'm one of His. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways. God said, I will heal their land. It's not too late for America to be healed. It's not too late for revival. It's not too late for... In fact, I heard announcers during all this political thing. I've heard it 3 or 4 times from people that didn't have a clue what they were saying. America needs a revival. America needs a revival. No matter what your beliefs are or your affiliations are, America needs revival. So when God's people unite in prayer, something happens. It happened on the day of Pentecost. They were all in one place and one accord. And they were there in obedience to the Lord. And a wind began to blow and a fire began to burn and a rain began to fall. And a river began to flow. Thank God, thank God. When God's people unite in prayer, God exposes and God turns and God scatters evil according to what we see here in the 92nd Psalm. Something that means very much to me because I love people and I especially love right-on ministers that have stood with us through many, many situations. And the Moores are that kind of people. But the report that came has come out of Brother Greg Moore. The doctor said he was a very sick person. He just, for all purposes, collapsed. But it wasn't a heart attack. It was the worst of pneumonia. And it was a very serious thing. And we've been very closely attentive to that this week in speaking the Word of God. And I know I prayed, and God only knows who all the others are that have prayed. But this morning, thank God, when we got the call, There's been a turn. There's been a change. Listen to me, folks. We need to hold on to the fact that God hears and answers prayer. You say, well, I've prayed before and God didn't seem to answer. Oh, get off that. Hold to the fact that when God's people pray in faith, believing according to the Word of God in the name of Jesus, something's got to change. Something's got to change. And that's very meaningful to me to deal with the reports that we've had this week. And now all of a sudden there's the doctor. In fact, the doctor said there's been a miracle. Been a change. When doctors say miracle, you know there's a miracle. You understand what I'm saying? If you've ever been on that side of it. They don't say that word miracle very easy. But when God's people begin to pray, and they pray in faith, believing, and they pray according to the Word of God, and they pray in the name of Jesus, God still hears and answers prayer. So that's truth number 3 that comes out of Psalms 92. Truth number four is planted believers are blessed believers. I said planted believers are blessed believers. Amen. The Bible said, though in verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that are planted. There's so much carelessness about church attendance today. That's one thing that bothers me as a pastor. I mean, it's like everything in the world takes first place. Let me tell you something, friend. If you was in the hospital in ICU and the doctors were thumping your chest not knowing what was going to happen, I think God would be number one all of a sudden if he wasn't. Let's make him number one before the challenge, before the crisis, before. Let's make him number one. He is number one, whether I acknowledge that or not. And the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First, not second, not third, not fourth. Seek ye the kingdom of God first. And all these things will be added unto you. Oh, if believers could only understand, we're running after things, we're grabbing things, we're hoarding things. But he said, you got it backwards. Seek me first, and everything you need, you'll have it. I look at the time we've been in the ministry, and, you know, my parents weren't broke. They weren't rich, but they weren't broke. But, you know, in the ministry, well, we've gone through some slim years. And then all of a sudden to see God just break things loose a few years ago, and, you know, I just think, I've stayed in some of the finest hotels in the world. I didn't ask for it. I just got there and said, you know, we have someone that attends our church, and they've made a special provision. We want you to stay at the Bayshore Inn down here, you know, where all the celebrities stay. I said, well, oh, whoa. Hallelujah. Amen. Doesn't happen all the time, but it's happened a good share of times that special things happen when your trust and your faith is in God. Amen. You know, God's not allergic to blessing you. He wants to bless you. It rejoices the heart of God. Well, think of your own heart as a parent. You love to bless your children and your grandchildren. How much more does your heavenly Father desire to bless people? Thank God, they that be planted. Church, I beg of you in the name of Jesus, plant and stay planted. I say it quite often in the Bible college, easiest place in the world to get offended is in church. Easiest place in the world to get offended is in church. Satan will see to it. Well, that usher didn't shake my hand. Well, so-and-so, you know, blah, 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 you know, just, it's a me thing. Forget that me thing and let's look up to him. He's the big deal here. I'm not the big deal. He's the big deal. And they that are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish. I looked what Mr. Strong had to say. That word flourish means they're going to break forth and they're going to break out. Woo! Your breakout's on the way. I said your breakout's on the way. They're going to break out and they're going to break forth. It means to grow. To flourish means to grow. Yeah, to break out and break forth, but it means to grow. That's why some people never grow. They're not planted. They're not planted. Hallelujah. Oh my. It means to spread wings and fly. And that sounds to me like Isaiah 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Planted people flourish. Hallelujah. I have secrets I'll never be able to tell, but you know, I know people in this audience. Your family was a total disaster. Zero minus zero. But look at you, born again, spirit filled, full of the Holy Ghost, on fire for God, serving God in church, on the right side of the fence, on the right side of life. You're planted in the house of God. You don't have to be like your flaky family if that was the case. You don't have to be like Uncle who had too much. Whatever. Amen. Praise God. Flourish. Could I hear you say, I'm planted. I'm flourishing. I'm breaking through. I'm breaking out. I'm growing. I'm mounting up with wings as eagles. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are listening so good this morning. Praise be unto God. Well, there's one more that I want to give you. One more I want to give you. You're just doing so well. This verse has fascinated me for years. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now, I was really puzzled by the change of oil change that they suggest now. I mean, to go 6,000 or 7,000 miles without changing oil, it just, I'm still trying to get used to that. Not that I want to spend money, but you know, most of us are growing up with change oil every 3,000 miles and prolong your engine. I know when I was down in Florida, I was in a taxi cab that it looked to me like it was new. And I said, "Is this a new cab?" He said, "No, no." He said, "It's got right at 300,000 miles on it." And said, "We'll do a little reconditioning on it and sell it to another cab company and they'll put another 100,000. Said it could go 500,000 miles. I said, "What in the world is the secret to that?" He said, "Maintenance. Maintenance." And you know that's the secret to the spiritual life? Maintenance, the word, prayer, a change of oil. Now, I know you can go further than you used to, and they say it's because the tolerances of engines have been changed. Now, I'm not a mechanic, so I enjoy driving them, but I don't know how to work on them like some of you do. But they say the tolerances have changed, and so they've made compensation to where now you only have to change most of the new cars, whatever, 6,000. It's still kind of spooky to me, but amen. But they change, that's part of my deal on mine. They change my oil for free. So that's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. But you know, I remember when we were in the downtown location and Bailey's Lincoln was just right down the street. And our music director at that point, he's gone on to be with Jesus now, but he had a real pretty Lincoln, a sports coupe. They call them lead sled, had those long hoods, you know. And one day he called me from Bailey Lincoln down there, and he said, "Pastor Bob," he said, "I've got a problem." And I said, "What in the world's the problem?" He said, "They tell me my engine has frozen up." I said, "Frozen up?" I said, "How many miles you have on?" He said, "I've only got 50,000. I said, "Man, have you changed your oil regular?" "Oh," he said, I've never changed the oil. I just add oil." Now, you spiritual folks are preaching ahead of me already this morning. See, never change oil. I just add some oil. I pick up a little oil. Maybe an evangelist comes through and I'll catch a hot night, you know, and spend some carpet time, and then I don't need God for another few weeks or days or whatever. But you see, 50,000 miles, that's not much, not many miles on a car. But he never changed his oil. And his oil had congealed some way. And it literally ruined a perfectly good engine. Church, listen to me today. This verse is so important. "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." I don't want stale oil. You know, we had a quartet when I was in Bible college for a while, and then we traveled. And the average pulpit, of course, we don't keep anything in this pulpit except maybe a glass of water. But the average church used to always have a bottle of olive oil in the pulpit. And if you ever smelled that olive oil, that would clear your sinuses right there. Of course, that olive oil, I asked one pastor, I said, "How long's this olive oil been here?" He said, "I don't know. It was there when I came to pastor." And that was a few years back. Rancid, old oil. And so we sing precious memories, how they linger. God wants us to have fresh oil. By the way, if we have oil, make sure it's fresh by tonight, okay? Smell it. Just get a big whiff of it. And if it's, I know it's nothing like what I'm talking about, but I was associate minister in two different churches in my early days in ministry, and both those pulpits had oil in them. Oh, Jesus. It'd clear your sinuses. It would clear your sinuses. But anyway, I said that to make a point. I said that to make a point. Of all times in our life and in all times of America, we need to have an oil change. Fresh oil, new wine. Fresh oil. new wine. We don't need old wineskins that are cracked and broken and can't hold anything. The cry of my heart is, oh God, fresh oil. Oh God, fresh oil. Let our music be fresh oil. Let our preaching be fresh oil. Let our teaching be fresh oil. Let everything we do in the name of the Lord be fresh. Fresh oil. Fresh. That's what these services are about. You know, we're so used to this microwave Christianity. You know, just a few seconds and I'm out of here. Better get with it, God, because I've got things I've got to do. But my last point is my appeal and my reaching out as a pastor. I feel my need of the fresh oil today more than at any time in my life or ministry. I need the fresh oil of God. I need that freshness. I crave that freshness. I crave that freshness of God. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. By the grace of God, I say that I am being anointed with fresh oil. Are you hungry? Now listen to me. Are you hungry for more of God or less of God? Now, I know that sounds spiritual, but I'm really serious. Are we hungry for more of God? The average church is not hungry for more of God. The average preacher is not hungry for more of God. We're trying to streamline it. We're raising managers, not ministers, in too many situations. Old school minister. Well, we won't get away from that old school. You better get back in school, honey. You're going to be in school till you go off to be with Jesus. Amen. You never graduate from God's school until you leave this world. We'll be in school all of our life. And it's not old school, it's God's school. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I still believe in Jesus. I love that song we sing so often. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in water baptism. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I remember in our time of seeking finance downtown, I heard of a certain organization that were generous with many churches. I didn't realize it was churches of their particular denomination. I walked in, this guy, he was chewing on a big cigar, and he said, what kind of church you come from, boy? And I said, well, you know, we're a full gospel church. He said, you speak in them tongues? I said, yes, sir, we do. He said, well, we can't help you. But you know, God had somebody that did help us. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I'm hungry, I'm thirsty for the fresh oil of God. Would you stand with me right now? You've been a wonderful audience today. Psalms 92. I shall be, sit with me. I shall be anointed.
I shall be anointed
with fresh oil.
Fresh oil.
Oh, say it again. I shall be anointed.
I shall be anointed
with fresh oil.
Fresh oil.
Oh Lord, I'm hungry.
Lord, I'm hungry
for the fresh touch of Your Spirit.
Fresh touch of Your Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, I really haven't preached a long time this morning. Don't think I have. But I wonder if we could just have a few folks that would stand with us this morning. Are you hungry? Some hungry folks. Some hungry folks. And let's just let our prayers go out for the services tonight and for the Thanksgiving time. I believe God has given this nation a reprieve. I really believe God has given us an open door of opportunity. We go forward. I personally believe the will of God has been done, and we'll see that. It's going to take some time to prove that, but I believe we'll see it. My call to prayer this morning is, oh God, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Tonight we're going to have some fresh oil service. Have a fresh oil probably Wednesday night. We're just reaching out to the Lord, just reaching out to Him. Could I hear your voice in the morning, calling upon the name? I know it's noon hour, but can we call on the name of the Lord? Father God, you see those that are hungry and thirsting after righteousness. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, let this be a church where empty lives can become full to overflowing. Oh, where hungry people can be fed, where thirsty people can find living water. Oh, Father, let this be a church where people can still be saved, where altar calls are given and where people come and accept Jesus. Oh, God, anoint our Christian school. Oh, God, anoint our Christian school. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you anoint every level of outreach of this church. Our nursery, our children, our youth, our singles. Oh, the Eagles Club, Conquerors Club. Oh, God, that right on through every rank, this church will be a place where hungry people can be fed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now just let your voice go out in praise. Just praise the Lord in the Spirit for a few moments. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Well, praise be unto the Lord. I don't know why the Lord, the world of the Lord, brought this to my thinking right now, because that's really not where everything was going, but I just believe that many of you, if you haven't, you'll feel led to do what Joe and I have done, that we make sure that our final tithe off of whatever's left goes to the Lord, goes to the house of God. I couldn't tell you how many times it seems like our biscuits have been saved by a final tithe that someone remembered to put into their will, or because others are not going to think about that. Others are not going to think about that. If you're going to do it while you're living, so you'll be in knowing where it's a going. Father, I just pray that simple remark I just made, I've obeyed you in that, so we leave it there. Father, I thank you that financial blessing is coming for our church. Financial blessing is coming for our school, our Christian school. That financial blessings are coming in the name of Jesus. And God, I speak financial blessings upon the people here this morning. It goes both ways. God's a God of blessing. He's a God of equal opportunity. And I just bless the people today. Father, with a shout we go out in the name of Jesus. Well, the Lord bless you. Make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. There's an interest in the ski trip for you or for someone, and please see Brother Dan or Brother Robbie. That needs to be in place as soon as possible. And the pies also.
Thank you.